Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just tune in, Zaidu Islam, Midway 1548. My name is Ismail Briyawa, going to be your host for the next couple hours, inshallah, Aziz. And before we do anything else, I hope you've got your questions ready, because we've got Mufti Ilyas and Ryan. And we'll be talking about queries and concerns that you have about any aspect of Ramadan. We normally start off with the immediate concerns that you have, and then we can take on queries about health issues, and then look at zakat, and then as we're going along, maybe towards the latter part of the program, Ramadan, we can look at concerns about Ramadan itself. And we have Mufti Sahab online. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah for being with us and giving us some of your valuable time this afternoon, Mufti Sahab, and we've got lots of queries that have come through as well. And the number to dial is 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. And you'd like to SMS is 073-461-3014. That SMS number, 073-461-3014. And remember, we're talking to Mufti Ilyas about any aspect pertaining to Ramadan. I've got a couple of questions that have come through. And could we go with them, please, Mufti Sahab?
Inshallah.
Jazakumullah, this one comes in from Sweden. It says, Salam, I'm writing from Sweden. I just want to know if you can hold the Quran and reading it while in Salah. It says while in prayers, and goes on to say, be it the five daily prayers or in Taraweeh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, that performance of Salat is rewarding. However, there are certain actions when done in Salah will invalidate the Salah. And what we call Amal al-Kasir, major action. And a major action is such an action that the onlooker looking at the person feels that this person cannot be in Salah. Now holding the Quran whilst you are in Salah will tantamount easily to creating and being involved in a major action. Now there is a kitab, it's called Hadith wa Azha Hadith by Maulana Qureshi. And in it, he discusses the academic reasons why you cannot hold the Quran whilst in Salah, and that will invalidate the Salah. Also, logically speaking, a question arises that if a person is going to have the Quran while standing, then what happens to the Quran when the person goes to ruku? What happens to the Quran when the person goes to sijda? And definitely there is going to be dishonoring of the Quran, disrespect of the Quran. Thus, one should not hold the Quran whilst in Salat. It's going to invalidate the Salat.
Jazakumullah for that one. I've got an SMS that's coming. I read Taraweeh in an African locality and the local ladies attend. Do we make niyyah for them? Where do they stand? If there's a gap of four safs between men and women, says some text missing, and I suppose the question, that would be the question. I read Taraweeh in an African locality and the local ladies attend. Do we make niyat for them? Where do they stand? If there's a gap of four safs between men and women, is it okay, I suppose?
As far as all those hufas who are going to the African localities and performing Taraweeh there, Allah Jalla Majdahu reward them tremendously. They are doing a great service for Islam, for upliftment of Quran, and for promotion of Taraweeh Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them greatly, because they are making tremendous sacrifice of their time, their effort, and also to an extent that they are putting themselves into a certain amount of difficulty and danger. Now, the imam should make intention for the ladies. That's number one. He should make intention that besides men, females are also following. Now, the second ruling is that, yes, they are four safs away. They should be behind a curtain or behind a wall, basically not visible. Basically, their sounds should not be reaching the males. And it does not matter about the gap. As long as the females make out and know that what position is the imam, that is sufficient for them. Like the men, you have to have ittisal, meaning continuity of the self. This condition does not apply to the females who are following the imam in the same building.
JazakAllah for that. And we've got another question that has come through. It says, is zakat payable on pension and provident funds and retirement annuities? What value and date should they be calculated at?
About pension fund and provident fund, remember in Islam, we are defining zakatable assets. That means we are defining assets contrary to the Western definition of assets. In Islam, we are defining assets as that which is in your possession, that which is in your ownership, that which is in your control, that which is you have got haqq tasarruf, right of distribution. And with those four conditions, the fifth condition is that you have to have that asset now for one Islamic year. Obviously, one Islamic year will mean one lunar year. Now, the pension and the provident, one does not have control over it, possession of it, and one does not have right of distribution over it. Thus, the ulama say that you do not have to pay zakat on the pension not received and on the provident not received. How do you pay then? When you get it and you are a payer of zakat, when you get it and you are a payer of zakat, then you will pay on that date. Just like a loan also. When you get the loan and you are a payer of zakat, then pro rata, as the installment of the loan comes, you will pay on it.
JazakAllah, the number to dial is 011-854-1548. We're taking your callers pertaining to any aspect of Ramadan. And the SMS is 073-461-3014. 073-461-3014. Another email that has come through in his book, Mukamal wa Mudalil, I'm not sure if I've got it right, Musa'il Zakat by Mawlana Muhammad Rifat, Kasmi of Diobani, quotes Asmul Fatawa. He gives a page number at 287, volume 4, as follows. If shares are bought with the intention of reselling them, then zakat is wajib thereupon. Would it therefore be correct to assume that if shares are not for reselling purposes, they are not zakatable? Please advise.
Okay. The that kitab is Mudallal Zakat Masail, and Maulana Rafat Qasimi, Ahmed Barakatum, is a ustad of Darul Uloom Dioban, and he is quite a specialist in combining all the similar masails. So he has written about Khufain, he has written about Zakat, he has written about Salah, and he has written on various topics. Now, in fact, his kitab, we have summarized one of his called Tarawih in detail. And also, that very kitab, we have also summarized and we have called it Zakat in detail. Both are available, I think, on the website. Now, there he's just mentioning a law, because your share, because it is your asset, which I have just outlined now, the qualities of an asset. And a share, you can buy it, you can sell it, you can distribute it to whomsoever you want it, and you have got it for one Islamic lunar year. So all the qualities of an asset are applicable to the share. Therefore, you will pay on the share also, on the current market-related value of it.
Salam, how do ladies read Tarawih? Do you read your full 17 rakats of Isha and then 20 rakats Tarawih? And do we read it witr after Tarawih? Jazakallah.
First of all, a few basic laws. One is that obviously Isha is given preference. Isha is obligatory. Then the sequel should be Taraweeh and then Witr. However, if a person misses the Isha, then that person, whilst the Taraweeh is on, if a, for example a person came in the masjid and they missed the Isha. Now, I'm mentioning this, although the question is not related, but this happens a lot, latecomers. They miss the Isha, Taraweeh is on. They cannot join the Taraweeh. They must make the Isha and the Sunnah. I will reiterate, the Isha and the Sunnah. You can check the our Kitab Taraweeh detail for references. Then, if a person missed out certain number of rakats of Taraweeh and the Witr Jama'ah stood up, you will join the Witr Jama'ah, and subsequently, after the Witr Jama'ah, you will cover up the fall the shortfall of your Taraweeh rakats. For example, if you missed four rakats, then you will cover it up after Witr. Thus, we get a law that the Taraweeh can be made after the Witr. Females, they should make their Isha, then after that the Sunnah, and then the Taraweeh Salah. They can make it in the units of 2, 4, 6. 8, if they do it, is Makruh Tanzihi, according to Fatawa Mahmudiya, and Fatawa Mahmudiya quotes from Kabiri.
Jazakumullah khair. We've got a caller online. Can you take that caller first?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Malara, I just got a question. I've been given shares by my company, but I'm only able to exercise its rights in the year 2014. Do I still have to pay zakah on those shares?
Okay, is that your only question?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the shares given to you, but you can only exercise your right in 2014.
Yeah, I can only exercise its right in 2014.
Jazakumullah khair, you listen off air.
Yeah, okay, Jazakallah. So,
Mutisab, you get the question?
Yeah, I got it.
Jee.
Now, this is, again, Alhamdulillah, we have mentioned and defined what's the meaning of assets. Now, the brother has been given shares. Although he has been given this, he is the so-called owner of it. But he does not have possession of it. He does not have control of it. He does not have haqq tasarruf on it. Although it's going to be so-called in his ownership for more than a year. So all the conditions are not met. Now, hypothetically speaking, if this brother has been given literally thousands of shares, and then the current value will be so much, you will not be able to pay even the zakat. In this case, the brother will wait for 2014, then he's got ownership, which means he can buy and sell those shares. Currently, he may be so-called owner of it. They have done this, obviously, to retain him as a worker, as an employer. Employee at least. So that is why they have given this bait of giving the shares so that they maintain him and they keep him in the firm. Thus, he actually will become the real owner of those shares in 2014. Until 2014, when he is given real ownership of that, of those shares, and the real ownership will be indicated by the fact that he can buy, sell, distribute, and give those shares to whomsoever he wants to. Now at this moment, he cannot buy those shares or sell those shares, he cannot distribute those shares, he cannot give those shares. So in reality, he is not the owner of it. He has been promised total ownership of this in 2014. Thus, he will not be paying zakat on it.
JazakAllah for that. And we've got a query that's come through. I would like to know what happens when a woman gets her monthly changes during the day. Can she eat or must she wait for iftar?
Although it is written that she should wait, however, if she eats, it is not sinful. However, obviously, she will not eat in public. She will eat secretly away from the other family members' vision.
Can you explain to the Nafil Namazes and the number of minimum and maximum rakats? JazakAllah, I think you've gone through it, but maybe you could just explain to us the Nafil Namaz, the number. I know you said 2, 4, and Babs, it goes on to say. And explain the Nafil Namaz and the number of minimum and maximum rakats.
Yeah, perhaps also the person could be talking of something else, and inshallah, next Sunday we will do this in a little bit more detail. Perhaps the person is talking of a book that we have written. It's on our website. It is called Nafil Salat, Qaza Salat, Sunnat Salat. And perhaps the person is talking, for example, of Tahajjud, minimum 2, maximum 12, and Awabin 6, and Chast 4:12, Salatul Dua. All these rakats of these various Nawafil Salats. Otherwise, generally, that everybody knows those Nawafil that are linked to the Farais, that everybody knows, and those Sunnat Salats that are linked to the Farz Salat. For example, the 2 Sunnat before the 2 Fajr, then the 4 Sunnat prior to the 4 Farz of Zuhur, followed by 2, that means 2 Sunnat, 2 Nafil, then Maghrib, 3, followed by 2 Sunnat and 2 Nafil, then Isha, you got 4 Sunnat Ghair Mu'akkidah before the Isha, then the Isha 4, and the after that we got 2, 2, 3, 2, meaning 2 Sunnat, 2 Nafil, 3 with the Wajib, 2 Nafil, and Asr, not forgetting 4 Faraz, and prior to that 4 Sunnat.
Maybe also perhaps you can just explain the units of 2 and 4 and 6 and 8, how they should be done perhaps. That would perhaps be the other part of that question.
If a person is performing, for example, 6, because that will provide a little bit out of the order complication, after 2 rakats, after the attahiyyat, the person will stand, make another 2. Then after sitting at the 4, after completing 4 rakats, after attahiyyat, stand again. Then after 6, attahiyyat, durood Ibrahim, dua and salam.
JazakAllah for that clarification. And I've got another one. I don't know, it just seemed to have gone off the screen, about a person. Come back again with that one. Another one that I've got through is a lady wants to visit a female gynecologist while in the state of fasting. What is the conditions?
However, these examinations should be avoided as far as possible in the month of Ramadan. That's one. Secondly, that these examinations must be done in the presence of the mahram. It is absolutely haram for a male doctor to see a female patient in seclusion. This is unanimity in this. People may, who are listening, may think that perhaps the Muslim, the Mufti is staying in some other century, but this is the law, and this is a unanimous law, that a male cannot be alone with the female. The third one is shaitan. No matter how pious the male or the female is, or the male and the female, examination, first of all, should be avoided. If it is inevitable, if it is dry examination, it will not invalidate the fast. If it is wet, any gel, ointment, fluid is inserted in the process and procedure of examination, it will nullify and invalidate the fast. One qaza will be kept, no kafara is involved in this case.
Jazakumullah. So even if it's a female gynecologist, it's the same story. They've got the process would be whether it's a dry or a wet one. And if it's a wet one, then there will be one qaza to be kept. If not, then it's fine. They've got another question. If a lady stops menstruating at Seri, then is her roza valid?
If it is obviously before the expiry of Seri time, then, and she is for certain, she knows her habit and she is regular, and she clearly knows her haze has officially stopped. Obviously, even if she did not partake of Seri, she will just make an intention and inshallah her fast will be valid.
Okay, the next one is, when a person starts Salah and an ailing parent calls out, does one break Salah or complete and then one and then cease to one's parents, which is the way to do it?
For example, this will be circumstantial. Why? Because the ailing parent, the person is staying with that ailing parent and knows and understands the behavior pattern of the father or mother. So, by experience, the one performing the salat will know, first of all, that the father or mother is calling, and are the other persons who will be able to attend. If there are other persons able to attend, obviously the person will continue the salah, number one. Secondly, because the person is staying with the father or mother, he understands their behavior, and by the sound of their call, he will understand that they are in trouble or this is just a normal call. In some places, Ismail Bhai, you'll agree, when you travel around and you find two brothers talking, you think they are fighting. Meanwhile, there is normal talk in that country. That's how they talk.
Right.
So here too, that brother will know that the father and mother, this is a normal method of them calling. It's nothing serious. But if someone else is standing there, they may feel, oh, this is very serious. Meanwhile, that person knows this is a normal call of the father and mother. So the person hearing the call of the parents will make the decision and will analyze quickly that is this serious or not serious. If it is serious, then the person will terminate the salah, attend to the parents, and then after that will start the salah again, obviously, and complete.
Jazakumullah for that. And is it allowed to put lipstick on while it's in the state of fasting?
It is permissible out of necessity and need. However, that one should be extremely cautious not to swallow any particles of the ointment applied on the lips.
A person is a widow. Her husband left her 75,000 rand in pension fund. She has no jewelry and no income. Must she pay zakah on this particular sum of money?
If she has this money for one Islamic lunar year, she will pay zakat on it.
Well, the next one is, does bleeding gums nullify roza?
If the blood goes down the throat, it is going to nullify the roza. One qaza will be kept, no kafara involved.
Normally the two nafil after witr, some people stand and some sit and read. What is the reward and the difference between standing and sitting? What is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this?
Concerning this two rakats, in our kitab, Tarawih detail, in the last section, and the Tarawih detail is actually the summary of the Kitab on Tarawih by Maulana Muhammad Rafat, Damat Barakatuhum. Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Alayh has stated that if a person performs these two rakats of nafil, has having the intention that beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the two rakats of Nafil Salat sitting, then it is hoped that the reward will not diminish. However, as a rule, that a person who is able to stand performs the Salat sitting will receive half the reward. Now, if a person who has got valid reason for sitting, then obviously that person would be rewarded in full. Remember, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should perform the two rakats of Nafil Salat after a lengthy, strenuous day, number one. Secondly, after reading, according to Fatawa Mahmudiya, that if a person performs 5-6 paras a night, then that last two rakats, one may sit and read. But the general public thinks that the last two rakats of Nafil Salah in the month of Ramadan, they think it is sunnat and necessary to sit down. No, if you are able to stand and you are healthy, then you should stand and earn the full reward. If you are tired, weak, feeble, incapacitated, then you may sit and perform the last two nafil of the night.
Jazakumullah, the number to dial is 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, or you could SMS on 073-461-3014, 073-461-3014, and Mufti Ilyas is with us taking us your queries and questions pertaining to all aspects of Ramadan. We've got an earlier fax that came through and speaks about a person whose blood sugar level drops tremendously, you know, to the extent that a person can go into a state of a coma. What advice would you give to that person?
First of all, for any person who has got chronic ailments, and especially the sugar patients, then they should, prior to the month of Ramadan, visit their physician, medical practitioner, and tabulate a medical way forward. And upon the advice of the medical practitioner, regulate the medication. Insulin, taking injection whilst fasting, is not going to invalidate the fast. However, especially the sugar patients who are in this situation where they got fluctuation, sugar is high, then drops low, they should be extremely cautious. Allah Jalla Majdahu is all merciful, and the deen is simple, the deen is easy. However, we should not create an unnecessary excuse by our sheer negligence of our medical condition and thereby forego the fast. Yes, if a person is really sick, ill, feeble, then one may forego the fast. But because of our negligence and not monitoring our situation properly, we should not forego the fast. In this case, the person involved should monitor sugar levels and accordingly take the necessary medications during iftari, sehri, after taraweeh, so that the sugar levels can be maintained accordingly, properly, whilst the person is fasting. However, a maulana or a mufti will not be able to tell you how to take your medication. That will be done by your physician, by your dietitian, by your GP, who is going to advise you accordingly.
While fasting, and while you are fasting, and if by mistake something goes down your throat, like one of the soft things of the miswak, is your fast broken, or do you have to keep one qaza or 60 fasts, jazakumullah, as if the fast is broken? Can I eat after that?
The stated scenario presented, then the fast is not going to be broken, because the rule that seems to be coming forth is that is not an edible item. Stick is not an edible item. Normally people do not eat stick or stone, or because the masala is clearly written, and we have recorded this in our book Kitab al-Sawm, that if involuntarily a fly enters the mouth and goes down the throat, then that will not invalidate the fast. Why? Because people do not normally eat flies. Thus, people do not generally, normally, under general circumstances, eat stones or sticks. In this case, it is not going to invalidate the fast. So no qaza, no kafara, no eating after that mistaken action.
Does taking blood for medical testing break the fast?
Obviously, in this month, that life goes on, and especially here to the sugar patient, upon the advice, obviously, of the medical practitioner, they are going to monitor their sugar levels and obviously take sugar readings perhaps every 4 hours, 6 hours, as the case may be, as the severity of the case may be. Thus, they prick themselves and take out a little drop of blood. That is going to break the wuzu. That is going to invalidate the wuzu. It is not going to break the fast. Also, if the physician, the doctor, has requested the fasting person to take a blood test, obviously they are going to remove a tube of blood. The removal of the blood is not going to invalidate the fast.
For medical reasons, I was fitted with a, says, for medical reasons, I was fitted with a contraceptive and did not get my irregular menses. I noticed some spotting today and I'm worried about my fast. That's for my sister. What must she do?
If, say it again, this fellow.
For medical reasons,
yes,
she was fitted with a contraceptive,
right,
and now she's not noticed some spotting. What must she do? Is her fast valid or not?
Now, if she is the one who is having, after insertion of the medical equipment, now if she is still menstruating normally, then she is regular, and she will know that this is part of a regular haiz. If it is not part of a regular haiz, and this is abnormal, it will be classified istihaza, because she herself is saying that this insertion is due to medical reason. Thus, because the insertion is due to medical reason, it is going to affect the flow of blood. As a result, that if it is not as per normal habit and outside the normal habit, then it is going to be classified as istihaza. And istihaza, blood flow, that means blood flow due to medical ailment, illness, is not going to invalidate the fast.
If you are pregnant and not fasting, do you need to keep your fast afterwards or pray for the fast?
Allah Jalla Majaluhu has given us very easy deen and a practical deen. Concern about our health, well-being. And in this case, this is one of the 10 reasons which are valid Sharia reasons for not fasting. Pregnancy, jihad, suckling, insanity, unconsciousness, going on journey, and also old age. All these are reasons which are Sharia valid reasons for not fasting. Now the person, inshallah, after delivery and after nifas, that means the blood discharge after delivery, after all that is over, then inshallah the person should make good, make do for those fasts that have been missed, meaning simple language to recompensate one missed fast by keeping one fast, meaning qaza, no kafara involved. Deen is so easy that the person will keep the fast, but in the state of nifas and haze, not make the salah.
We've got one that doesn't really pertain to the month of Ramadan, but it's an important question. It says, when there's a mayit, and the mayit is not the husband's, the sister's observe that it becomes a family get-together and catch up on the latest events. Understand that mourning's for 3 days. How must the family spend the 3 days or in mourning? She says, lavish food is prepared and laughing and mocking takes place. And do we practice what we preach when it suits ourselves? So that's a query that's coming pertaining to the funerals, the mayats.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Unfortunately, that our funerals are now becoming like wedding functions, that the women folk and the men now, they want to dress up and attend these functions. And inevitably, what happens, as stated by the person who has said the facts, that there is frolicking, merrymaking, joke making, and idle, vain, futile talk, waste of energy, waste of time. If you want to really benefit the deceased, then you can make definitely valuable contribution to that person's well-being by Isa alayhi sawab. Individually, at home, you read as much as Quran-e-Kareem, making intention that, Ya Allah, whatever I am reading is for the deceased so-and-so. Also, that give charity on that person's behalf, do good actions, nafil actions on the person's behalf, and definitely, Shariat has given us a perfect way of life, that 3 days official mourning, meaning to be sorrowful grief in those 3 days. Yeah, also, if you look at the books of fiqh, Umdatul Fiqh, etc., you'll find that it's clearly written there that if there is, for example, a family, now all of them should not be sitting for 3 days. One person should be there to receive those who are going to come there to pass their words of condolence if they were not been able to come for the funeral. But the rest of the family must carry on with normal life activity, meaning go to their farms, go to their activities, open their businesses. So Islam does not want you to become so sorrowful and grief that you do not get on with life. That is why the cut-off, maximum 3 days, Islam is saying, after that you must normalize and behave as a normal person. Definitely a person who gets grieved and sorrowful upon the demise of someone near and dear. However, that those who go there, inevitably, lavish food is prepared, extravagancy, and these are the acts of shaitan eventually. So we should try to abstain and make a concerted effort to abstain from such functions which have no real spiritual benefit for oneself or the deceased or those people who are bereaved and grieving.
A lady wants to know if she must pay zakat on jewelry that is used or not used, and this sister follows the Shafi Mazhab.
According to the Shafi Mazhab, if he's using jewelry, there is no zakat on it.
I'm not able to fast due to mental illness because of a lot of medication. I get very hungry and weak. My income is of zakat. Do I pay for the missed fast? That is, do I pay kafara? That's the question.
Okay, first of all, that there are numerous things involved here. One is that the person has got a shari valid reason for foregoing or missing the fast. And because of the intake of many medications, the person is not able to fast. So that person technically is not a sinner, number one. Secondly, that it is not kafara, it is fidya that the person is supposed to be paying. Yeah, in this case, the complexity arises that the person is poor and a recipient of zakat. Now, there are two things here. First of all, fidya is the amount of sadqatul fitr. And sadqatul fitr this year has been stipulated 11 red for Hanafis and 22 red for Shafis. For every fast missed, the person will pay out 11 red. However, that if the person, inshallah, recovers, then that fidya will be classified as charity. Now the person will have to keep the qaza. If the person does not have financial means to pay for the fidya, then that person should make istighfar and tawbah in abundance and hope that Allah Jalla Majdahu forgives that person.
Is Taraweeh compulsory for females?
Taraweeh Salah is 20 rakats, number one. Taraweeh Salat is Sunnat-e-Mu'akida for males. Number three, Taraweeh Salat is Sunnat-e-Mu'akida for females also. Males should obviously perform it with Jama in the masjid, preferably. Females should perform Taraweeh Salah at home. These days it has become a fashion to perform. The females want to run off and perform Taraweeh Salat outside their homes, in the masajid, etc. During the rest of the year, for Faraz Salat, we are saying that the females must not come to the masjid. So why are they now making a concerted endeavor to come out to perform Taraweeh Salat? During the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were 9 other masajids, in Madinatul Munawwara. Females did not go and perform Salat in those masajids. If they went, they went to Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because of its specialities there. And during the period immediately after Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha openly stated, if Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive, he should have prevented, seeing the condition of the females, he should have prevented them from attending the masjid. That was the best of the times and best of the eras, and the golden eras. Now in this era, which is bereft of spirituality, definitely the females should perform their Taraweeh Salah in the confines of their homes.
What is the reward of passing away in the month of Ramadan, Rajab or Shaban?
We can include in that question also Jummah. There is a book of ours, actually it is a translation of Maulana Mufti Ashiq-e-Ilahi Buland Sharif Rahmatullah Alayhi's kitab, Marne Ke Baad Kya Hoga, What Happens After Death. It is now on our website, alislam.co.za, and there is one section called Life in the Grave, one whole chapter. And there it is written that the person who passes away on Jummah, that means Islamic Friday, that means after the sunset of Thursday, English Thursday, right up till the sunset of English Friday, if a person passes away there, then inshallah the questioning and answering in the grave is suspended, is postponed. And that is a great, immense, tremendous boon and favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his servant. Now, the person passes away, but not burial. The person can pass away, get buried on Saturday, then the order will still apply for that person. As far as passing away in Ramadan is concerned, from the reference of Bayhaqi, it is stated that, inshallah, that person also will be amongst those who will not experience any difficulty in the grief. As far as the other 2 months are concerned, I do not know.
And about passing away in the cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara, is the same attached to it?
As far as passing away in the blessed places of Makkah and Medina, definitely to pass away in these lands, it is virtuous by the way of neighborhood. Just as in this world, we would like good neighbors so that we can benefit from them, or at least minimum be happy and live in peace, because the neighbor will not harm, injure, trouble you. And if the neighbor is good, then you can benefit morally, spiritually from that neighbor, and also be defended and protected by the neighbor. So to pass away where there are literally thousands of great spiritual personalities and who have been classified as pious, righteous, so because of the barakah, a blessing and boon of being near them, the virtues of passing away, they increases.
It goes on another question, how can I read surahs? It's a lady that's asking this question, how can I read surahs in Tarawih for ladies? Is it right to read Wad Duha and Kul A'udhu Birabbin Nas?
First of all, let us just take another scenario quickly. Sometimes what happens that those who are making Tarawih Salah individually, male or female, females because we are saying that they must do it individually in their homes, sometimes what happens that due to circumstances and lack of retentive power and poor memory, they know very few surahs. They are allowed in the light of Sharia to repeat those surahs. It is absolutely permissible. There is no detestment in that. Hypothetically speaking, that if a person knows only 2 surahs besides the Surah Fatiha, then repetition of these 2 surahs in all those rakats, in the units of 2, the salah will be absolutely valid, rewardable, and it will be absolutely permissible to do that. If a person is reading from Wad Duha downwards, then it is advisable to leave the gap of 3 surahs. That will be excellent if a person leaves the gap of 3 or 2 surahs and read in that manner. However, what should be good, that the person should read it in a descending sequence, 1 surah after another.
This one here seems a bit complicated. My mother and I don't have a maid. My father gives us wages on a Friday. At Jummah time, out of habit, we are working. Is that time's money haram for us?
they are females asking the question.
There's a female asking the question.
Upon the female, Jamaat Salat is not wajib, compulsory. Upon the female, jihad is not compulsory. Upon the female, Jummah Salah is not compulsory. thus the order of the regulations and rules surrounding Juma Salat and earning and females will not apply in this case. The money will be permissible. And for the males who unfortunately engage, then their earning will be makruh.
What are the rules of Nafil Ittika for ladies who follow the Shafi Madhab?
As far as my knowledge is concerned, that it is absolutely the same as the Hanafi Madhab.
My son was in a comatose state and missed an entire Ramadan fast. He passed away in the state. What does us as parents do to repay his missed fast? He was 20 years old and he left this world 7 years ago.
Brother Ismail, you did one research about Sadqatul Fitr, and we came, both of us, to the conclusion that after that lengthy research you did, that the current Sadqatul Fitr, if taken, inshallah, will be adequate. Although we have written in our book, Kitabu Sob, that the Sadqatul Fitr for that particular year should be taken into account when paying the fidya for the missed fast of that particular year. So you got two options. One is that 30 times 11, that amount of rands you will give out as fidya for your deceased son. May Allah Ta'ala bless him and grant him Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
And the second option is to calculate or to ask someone what was the Sadqatul Fitr amount the year that he was in coma, assess that and times 30 and give it out as fidya. And the recipients of fidya are same as the recipients of zakah. Yeah, I would make an appeal to all those organizations that are collecting fidya, zakah, kafara, sadqatul fitr, that they should learn these laws and study them, especially who are the recipients of it. Because, unfortunately, those organizations which collect and distribute fidya, zakat, sadqatul fitr, kafara, and do not have ulama ikram on board, unfortunately make a catastrophical mess in their collection and distribution. That is why we appeal to those who, remember, the preferable thing is to give the zakat out personally. However, if you want to give it out to those organizations which have got ulama who can supervise and regulate and monitor the distribution of your valuable charities.
The number to dial is 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, and the SMS 073-461-3014, 073-461-3014. I've got a question here which says that I normally read whatever I have to, and at the end of it, I then make Ithal al-Sawab. Is that correct? Or should I do it before, and then yet before, or can I do it afterwards?
The better method, the best method, is to do it before. That has been the opinion of most of the scholars, that do it before, that I am going to read, and inshallah, that whatever I read is going to be for so and so. Here, I would like to mention one or two other laws, that if a person does it after, then the ulama ikram say it is valid. Thirdly, that you can make Isa alayhi sawab for the living just as you make for the dead. Meaning that if a person makes a nafil action, and remember, Isa alayhi salam, fourthly, is can be only done with nafil action. One person cannot, for example, make four rakat of Zuhur Faraz and say, this is for Isa alayhi salam, for so and so. No, Faraz, Wajib, etc., Sunnah, you cannot make Isa alayhi salam of. You can make Isa alayhi salam of nafil, optional, voluntary actions or charities, activities, nafil tawaf, and nafil charity, and nafil the recitation of Quran al-Kareem. So you will do these actions, which are nafil in nature, and pass the sawab to the living or the deceased.
The question then goes on is to say that he is always in the habit, or is she always in the habit of, you know, reading Quran. So something happens in between, and the person passes on at the end of then say, look, whatever I've read, it would also become as Ithal Sawab. Is that correct or not?
Yes, this can be done because in Fatawa Darul Uloom Dioban, I've seen one masala about one person reading 70,000 times a particular ayat and then passing it on to a person who was in need. So that action was done, stored and passed on in need when required.
Jazakumullah, we've got two callers online. Assalamu alaikum, bin.
Wa alaikum salam.
Please go ahead with your question.
My daughter's at the Muslim school, right?
Okay.
They've now sent out a circular saying that they have 44 learners who are confirmed potential zakat cases. And the parents are now requested, like, you know, the parents are urged to discharge their zakat by forwarding their monies to the school. And then they say that the zakat will then be discharged to offset the fees of the learners. Now, can the school body actually do that, or should the money actually go to the parents of the kids and they can decide what to do with the zakat?
Jazakumullah, so your question is that you've been asked to give the zakat to the school because they want to reimburse the children so that they can pay their fees. Is that what it is? And your question is whether it should be done through the school or whether the parents should take the money and then they should give it over to the school. Is that the way?
That's what I just said. Like, you know, like, the thing is, we want to know whether our zakat will actually be discharged properly or not.
Okay, not a problem.
If we do it this way.
We'll ask Mufti, inshallah, will help us along. Jazakumullah khair. Mufti Zab, you've heard that question.
We'll take the other caller.
We'll take the next call as well. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, please go ahead. We can hear you.
Bye, I'm an asthmatic. I need to know whether can I take a nebulizer while I'm in Roza.
Okay, you're asthmatic and you want to know about the nebulizer.
Yeah, nebulizer, not the pump, the nebulizer that you inhale through your nose.
Okay, Jazakumullah khair. We'll put it, Mustafa will answer that on air.
Exactly.
Right. Let's start with the second question about the nebulizer. Person is asthmatic, can he use a nebulizer, not the pump?
I was taken to a pharmaceutical company. And there the brother, I asked him to show me these nebulizers. So they brought various nebulizers in front of me. And I asked them in detail to explain to me how they function. And as per our observation, that the nebulizer does not invalidate the fast. The nebulizer does not invalidate the fast. As far as the question of zakat, now the person should go to the authorities of the school and inquire from them how they are making use of the zakat, number one. Secondly, how they are making tamliq, meaning that how they are making the children owners of the zakat. Generally what happens is that those who cannot pay fees, they are requested to sign a form making the principal of the institute their guardian and agent to pay their fees with zakat money. And the child, the student, the learner, signs that particular form and generally has it countersigned by the parent of the child. enabling the principal to become the guardian and agent for distribution of zakat. However, because you have got a concern, you should go to the school and ask them what system they are using to pay the fees of the learner using zakat money. This is my personal opinion. I am not so happy with utilizing of zakat money in Muslim schools. This is my personal opinion.
Jazakumullah for that, and we've got a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Please go ahead.
Gee, I just want to find out from Mufti Sahab, if a girl becomes baligh at the age of 10 or 11, and then the haiz goes away for about 6 months, a year, 2 years, will she be classed as baligh from the first time, or will it be from the second time when it comes now every month regularly?
Jazakallah, you can do this on air.
Okay, Jazakallah. Assalamu
alaikum. We'll take the next question as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Please go ahead.
Is why I love to swim in Ramzan.
Okay, you can listen on air, off air.
On air.
Okay, Jazakallah. We've got two questions, Mufti Sahab. Can we take the one about swimming first?
Although it is permissible to swim in the month of Ramadan, however, that one should be extremely cautious, because if water enters and goes down the throat, the fast will be invalidated, the person will have to keep qaza, not kafara. Similarly, due to heat, a person can shower any amount of times during the blessed month of Ramadan, that will not invalidate the fast. Same time, the masala comes through that both whilst showering and whilst swimming, if water goes in the ears, it will not invalidate the fast. As far as the question that if for certainty that the blood that flowed at the age of 10, 11 was definitely of haiz, then that would be classified as haiz. And in that duration where there was no show of blood, then that person would be classified as in the state of purity.
Jazakumullah for that. And the brother has an eye problem. He applies eye medication. Does this break his fast?
It is written that to apply surma in the eyes will not invalidate the fast, even if the after effects of the surma are felt the back of the throat or the tongue. So the eye medication or the eye drops will not invalidate the fast.
We've got a question here. Are women allowed to visit the graveyards?
Initially, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given a ruling that everybody was allowed to visit the graveyard. Then the ruling was curtailed, and prior to that was no one was allowed to go to graveyard. Then everybody. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the ruling that men should visit the graveyard and females should abstain because of their emotional constitution, meaning that they are sentimental in nature, they cry, they weep, they perhaps may pull their hair, beat their chest, and tear their clothing. Thus, Allah Ta'ala has given us an easy deen. The female can pass Isa alayhi sawab by just sitting at home. Allah has made it very easy. The men, yes, they have to now take out their vehicles and go to the graveyard, visit the graveyard, upkeep the graveyard. And also, if you look at it carefully from another angle, that the reason for visiting the grave is to remember death. And the females generally that are inclined towards piety easily more than the men. So the men require this reminder constantly, more than the female. And the female, Allah has made it easy. They do not have to emerge from their homes and take the trouble and difficulty and go under the serious activity of going to the graveyard when the benefit to the deceased can be done from their comfort of their homes. So they should not visit the graveyard.
When you have an intimate relationship, is your bedding park?
If any semen has gone onto the bedding, then that area, if identifiable, has to be cleansed completely. Obviously, if not identifiable, then the whole sheet should be washed. If no impurity has reached the sheeting, the bedding, then obviously the sheeting and bedding will be clean.
Salams, when there's another one that's coming, some sister has called and she says when she experiences brown discharge, is that part of hers?
Obviously, that she should now monitor whether this is part of a regular, because it is absolutely necessary for females that they must keep a chart, because this affects their fasting, their salah, and if they're going for Hajj, their 5 days of Hajj, their Ihram, their Umrah, their Tawaf, all that will be affected. So females, as soon as they begin to experience maturation, should keep a book and tabulate so that they know exactly whether this is regular or not regular. The general rule is if it is more reddish, it to be classified as haze. More towards brown, generally is not classified as haze.
There's a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Please go ahead.
I wanted to find out if a person is traveling through Africa, 2-3 African countries like Zambia, Botswana, and all these countries, what is the situation with the Rosa and what is the situation with the Tarawih?
Sorry, can you just clarify this? What do you mean when you? What is the situation with the Rosa?
Can he keep the Rosas after the month of Ramadan, or must the Rosas be kept at that time and the Tarawih also?
Okay, so you're traveling through Botswana and other parts of Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, would you listen off here?
Okay.
Jazakumullah khair. Muftisab, the brother is going to be traveling to certain parts of Africa, and let's give an example of perhaps Zambia, Botswana, and so forth. Does he have to keep the fast, and what is the position of his Tarawih?
First of all, the Shariat is simple and easy. For a person who is a traveler, that's a valid Shari reason for foregoing the fast. However, if a person is healthy, and these days the means of travel generally is the travel, and now if a person is going through the African continent, it is difficult at times to travel. So the person must seek a ruling from his own heart that am I fit enough to fast? Am I capable? Will it be detrimental to my health? Will I be harmed or injuring myself? If the person says I will be able to manage to fast whilst even in traveling, then the person should fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that person tremendously. However, if that person does not fast, he will not be a sinner. That is now the masla of fasting and safar, tarawih. If the person is in an area and there is tarawih salah taking place, or the person himself is able to perform the tarawih and has got enough time on hand, then that person should make the tarawih salah. Because, first of all, Tarawih Jama'ah, 20 rakat, is a speciality of Ramadan. So the brother should not miss this golden opportunity of performing Tarawih Salat with Jama'ah. And if a person goes to an area and there is no Tarawih Salat in Jama'ah, even then, if the person has got sufficient time, then the brother should engage himself in Taraweeh Salat and earn the reward. However, another question will come arise that if the person performs the Taraweeh Salat, is it necessary for that person to fast after that? Because the person is on journey. It is not necessary. The person can perform the Taraweeh Salah, earn the rewards, and due to circumstances, in this case journey, can forego the fast. Similarly, the person is ailing, sick, cannot fast. Now, because the person cannot fast, does not mean automatically the person must not go for Taraweeh. Taraweeh is a separate, different issue. The person will go for Taraweeh, will earn the rewards of Taraweeh, but due to ailment, sickness, old age, whatever the Shari valid reason is, that person does not fast. So they are two separate, different activities.
Jazakallah, we come to the very last question. If a person gets a wet dream after Sehri, is his fast broken or not?
The fast is not broken.
Jazakallah, that brings us to the end of another wonderful program, Mufti Saab. And before we conclude, I just want to give out the Zakat Nisab. I think next week, inshallah, Mufti Saab will focus more on the Zakat and I suppose also some queries with regards to Etikaf and so forth. So inshallah, we will do all that in the next program. But I just a reminder, Mufti Saab will be with us on in the evenings on Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays from 9:30 to 10:30. So if you have any queries through the week, remember you could call. And on Sundays from 1:30 to 3. Jazakumullah, Asma Jazak for being with us once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.